Appreciate the message. Appreciate Brother Terry. Been knowing him for a lot of years. He's a dear friend and a great preacher. If you're here lost tonight, you don't know what you're missing. Salvation's not about the future altogether. It's not just about heaven and hell. Salvation has to do with the present time. And, I might say a few words. Something's been on my heart. I guess you know, God knows. But what is salvation? What is Christianity? I can say it in one word. Jesus.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Jesus. I preach a message, have down through the years several times. I think maybe I even preached it here once a few years ago. It's in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, and just a little phrase I preached from, "What think you of Christ?" And I want to ask you tonight what you think of him. What do you think of him? If you're saved tonight, what do you think of him? And if you're lost tonight, what do you think of him? Bible tells us if we're born again, as Brother Milby preached so well last night, if we're born again, we're born of God. And if we're born of God, we're born of love. Because God is love. I remember so well when conviction come to me. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about the church. Very little. My parents wasn't saved when I was growing up. My grandparents were, and I went to church with them some when just a small boy. When I got to be a teenager, of course, I didn't want to go. And at the age of 29, my mom had got saved about a year, had been saved about a year when I was 29 years old. And I seen a change in her. And I seen something that I hadn't seen before. And God, in his providential way, began to deal with me about my life. I'd been married for a few years, and I had a baby boy that was about 6 months old. And when he was born, it changed my way of thinking. Because to be honest with you, and I'm sure not proud, but I was just an outlaw. I'd done everything that was bad that I was big enough to do. And thought that was fun. But God began to deal with me. And I thought I loved that little boy and my wife. I thought, Lord, I love him so much. And I went over to my mom's house on a Friday. And I was bothered. I said, Mom, there's some things that I've been thinking about and it's really bothering me. And she said, well, son, I don't know what to tell you and how to explain it, but you need to go to church with me. And said, I'm sure the preacher can help you. And I said, well, I might go. And that Sunday morning, I got up and told my wife, I said, I'm going over to Mom's and go to church with her. Okay. I went over to her house. We got in the car and drove to church, just her and I. Got out and went to church. And the preacher got up to preach. And And he preached my life out in about 20 minutes. And I thought, how does he know that about me? He's a cousin of mine, but he'd never been around me or anything. I thought, how does he know? How does he know that? And I got under deep Holy Ghost conviction of sin. And I realized for the first time in my life that I was a sinner exceedingly before a holy God. I realized my life was a mess and I was in ruin. And I didn't know what to do about it. I left the church that morning under deep conviction. I couldn't think. I went home and I didn't say anything to my wife. I went to bed. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I got up the next morning. I couldn't focus on the job. I was just in trouble and more trouble. And I quit doing everything I know was wrong. I quit lying. I quit gambling. I quit drinking. I quit running around. Everything that I know that I was doing wrong, I quit. And I thought, I get that done, I'll be okay. But it just got worse.
Right.
Worse, worse. All this happened within a week's time. So I went back to church the next Sunday. I couldn't wait to get there. I was so anxious to get there. And I said in my heart, whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I won't be saved, Lord. I don't want anything else in this world. Whatever it is, whatever it takes. I didn't know how to be saved. I've told this story to you before. And I got there and preacher that preached me under conviction, and he wasn't preaching that day. He had a visiting preacher, and I never did hear anything he said. He preached, but I didn't hear him. All I could think about, and I was so ignorant about the ways of God, I thought I had to wait till they give an invitation before I could come to the altar. I didn't know I could have just got up and come. I kept waiting for him to do that. And finally did. It's a tradition in that church for the preacher to step down here and give an invitation. And when he did, I was sitting about where Brother Ronnie's sitting. And I was a-crying so loud. The church was full. And I ran. And I ran and I put my arms around that preacher, and I said, I want to be saved. And he said, talk to the pastor. The pastor's over here. He is my great uncle. He's way up in years. I just grabbed him around the neck, and all the time I was just weeping and crying. And I said, I want to be saved. Oh, I was hollering it out. And he just was along here, only that he just turned around and pointed. And he said, get right down there and pray. And I remember thinking, as I knelt, I remember thinking, I don't know how to pray. I ain't never prayed before, 29 years old. But I just cried out what was in my heart. And I said, God help me. God help me. God help me. I don't know many times I said it. And all of a sudden there was a sweetness. There was a peace that swept into me. Lord, that I can't explain it until this day. And there was such joy down in my soul. Oh, I was weeping happily. God had saved this old sinner. But I tell you what he done that morning. He put a love in me
that I never experienced. I thought I loved my wife and my son, my baby, and my family. I didn't even know what love was. This love became so strong. Thank God it still is today.
Amen.
And this love wasn't for my wife and daughter and my son and my family. This love was for a man called Jesus. I didn't know about him, but I loved him so much because what he done for me, how he moved on me, and how he saved me, delivered me from myself. And I was so much in love with him, and still am, that I couldn't think about nothing but just pleasing him. I said, I want to do, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. I didn't know nothing about studying the Bible. Never even had a Bible before. I'll take it back. I had the little New Testament while I was in grade school. But I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But I wanted to know what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to live. That's all I was interested in, is pleasing him. My love for him, I could lay down and die, and I'd think of him all through the valley. I'd think of him on the cross. And I'd think, oh, what love. What love. I didn't go to school. I didn't even barely got through grade school in about a year and a half. High school, quit. Education, didn't learn much when I did go. But I could read. And I got saved, and I'd go home and I'd open up the Bible. And somehow or another, God put me over there in the epistles of Paul. And I'd sit down and I'd read the book of Romans. I wouldn't read it just once. I'd sit there and read it 5 or 6 times, just over and over. And I was picking out in there what he wanted me to do. Sees what I was doing. I wasn't picking out something for somebody else. I was interested in what he wanted me to do. And I went through them epistles and I began to learn some of the things in them. And I come upon that verse in 2 Timothy, I think it's 2:15 or 3:15 or something. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he's talking to me. And he wasn't telling me to study to memorize and to learn all the Hebrew and Greek. I know nothing about that and still don't. But I was interested and still am in what he wanted me to do. And what he wanted me not to do. And then I got over there to Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know the perfect holy will of God. And that's what I wanted to know. What he wanted me to be and what he wanted me to do. And you know, I found out that he told me over in the gospel, he told me, Brother Kidd, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to keep what he wanted me to do. But I found out that it wasn't the 10 commandments. I found out there's 4 commandments in the New Testament. There was no.
If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things above. Set your affections on heavenly things and not on earthly things. And I begin to come across these verses of Scripture and I begin to apply them to my life. And I said, I want to do, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to. And I began to learn it and apply it to me.
Right.
You see, truth divorced from life is not truth in the biblical sense. You can say but not do, and it don't amount to anything.
Right.
Is that not so?
That's right.
But if you're born of God, that love in you is a love that's really been given to you by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
As Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. But Christ liveth in me.
That's right.
Amen. And this life I now live in the flesh, you see, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And learning these verses and saying, Larry, are you going to do that? Larry, what are you saying? And boy, that love that he put in me just kept a wanting to do it. And still does. And then I'd come across the verses where it say, pray without ceasing. And I see ignorant. And I learned. I come across that. Then I realized, Brother Ronnie Blanchett, I'm the ghost. Said, just think of me. Just think of me all the time. Thank the goodness of Christ. And so I thought, boy, ain't that so good? I wake up in the morning and I think, I'm saved. Still you're 70 years old. Still waking up in the morning and rejoicing and saying, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God and I love Jesus. And I want to keep his commandments. I want to do what he wants me to do and be what he wants me to be. And I come across that little verse and Paul said, his love constrains me. And I thought, oh my Lord, it's his love. It's his love that's causing me to want to do all these things. It ain't nothing about me, but it's him that's in me. That's pulling me and pushing me to do these things. And I love this love that he put in me. This love is the greatest love that man can know. If you're not saved, you don't know what love is. You'll never know love until you know Jesus Christ. And that love, oh God, that constrains the child of God, that puts joy in his soul, that peace down in his heart and life, contentment in his mind, and makes him to love the ways of God better than he loves anything else. Do you love him? You that are saved, do you love him tonight? Do you love him enough to keep his commandments? If we're not careful, I've been pastor of the same church now for about 38 years. And I went through a little trial here a few days ago. It's really hard. And I got to be able to preach for me about 3 nights. It went real well. But the very next Sunday, it fell apart. And it bothered me so. I couldn't sleep for 3 nights.
tell my wife about it. I didn't want to worry her. But I was so bothered.
I was bothered with some of my congregation, some of my members that some of them I'd had for years.
And I love them. But I was at the point of resigning. Say, what's the use?
Oh, Brother Milby, he's the only one I told. Besides one other man, it's a dear friend. I told him about it. I said, I'm really just really, really bothered. And I hadn't been that way for years with my church. So I began to pray.
You know, sometimes it's hard to pray. When you're really tore up, when you're really hurt, it's hard to pray, but that's when you must.
So I began to pray. And God turned the finger on me.
He said, maybe you should have done this a little different. You should have done that. Instead of looking at them, I began looking at me.
And that love swelled up.
Amen.
And I began thanking him for showing me.
Amen.
And so the next Sunday morning, got up and God, in about 3 days' time, he just put a message in my heart.
And I couldn't wait to get there Sunday morning to preach that message. And you know, the little anger and a little bitterness I had toward my congregation, even though they didn't know, all that went away.
Amen.
I'm just trying to testify. I got up and God let me preach the message. And the altar filled up with my church.
And one lady got up from the altar and she said, I want to thank God that we got a pastor that'll tell us the truth. Yeah. And tell us how to live what we're supposed to do. And I want to thank God for him.
Amen.
Some other things were said. I got to think about that love. Words can't express the love of God.
That's right.
That's in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
And if you're saved tonight, if you're really saved, and if you're really loving, and he gives you the love to love him with. And if you really love him, you want to keep his commandments. You want to learn more about him all the time. I've learned more in my older years than I did in my younger. I'm learning that he's so patient with me. And so long-suffering toward me. And I realize it more and more all the time. That's because he loves me so well. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me to that. Oh, how Jesus loves me. And he give me some of that love of his. That causes me to love others. What about that?
Amen.
Did you know the morning I got saved, my wife wasn't there. But I was wanting her to be saved before I got out of church. See, God putting that love in my heart to see others saved. He has down through the years. If you just read that one little verse, and it had such an effect on you, if you love me, you'll
keep my commandments. And then I got thinking, I don't know what they are, so I got to find out.
The preacher can't get up, preach two or three messages, tell me what they are. I got to find out. I got to study. And I got to study about what he wants me to do.
It's not studying so much to memorize the verses. I can memorize several. But that's not what the study. The study is about applying what he wants you to do to your life.
And if you're not studying that, well, you ain't studying right.
This thing is a personal thing. Christianity is a personal thing. Salvation is a personal thing. And it's not about you and me and him in my life. It's about me and him. And I find out that I've got more than I can handle just taking care of me.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out why he called me to preach.
But do you love him tonight? You love him enough to obey him, keep his commandments? Do you love him enough to study and search out what he wants you to do?
And I tell you, the best place to learn that is in those epistles of Paul.
Paul just got so many things in there that God gave to him to give to us. That just thing after thing after thing. And sometimes I come across one that I kindly missed out on. I said, I didn't even see that before. But I see it now. God saved me, and he birthed his love in me when he saved me. And through that love and through that new birth, he birthed a desire in me that's stronger, thank God, stronger than anything else in my whole being. It's stronger than anything, the desire to love him and to serve him and to obey him. Amen. And that's really all it matters.
Song that they sang this morning, it's all it matters.
It's your love toward him. I don't even have to. Time won't let me. If he did, I'd tell you a little bit how he loves you. You get to see it how he loves you, it makes you love him more. He done for you what nobody else could do. But his work didn't finish at Calvary. Finished the way of salvation, the resurrection. But he's our advocate now. He's got a priestly work now. And he helps me now. It's not nothing unusual. Just say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I've come to that turning point that Brother Terrence was talking about on what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do, Lord. You're going to have to help me. And you know that he has never failed me. He don't always help me the way I want help. But he always helps me. A lot of you in here I've known for years. I can't tell you how much I love you, Brother Terry. I can't tell you how much I love you. Words couldn't tell it. Brother Wayne, Brother Daniel, Brother Roger, Brother Keon, my best friend in the world over here, Brother Billy. All you fellas, Brother Ronnie. Stephen, bless my heart, up from Memphis camp meeting. It stayed on my mind for a few days. Yeah. Well, I seen the change in him.
Yeah. You know what he told me? I got a boy that's still lost. He's 42 years old. Say, Wayne, he said, it's between him and the Lord. I raised him just like I raised my daughter in the same house. My daughter got saved at 9. She's my piano player, faithful and good as can be.
He's still not saved. And Steve came up to me at the camp meeting and he said, "Brother, I've been praying for you, boy." Oh, Steve, you don't know how good that made me feel to know that you was. God puts a love in you that can't be explained. I can talk to you all night and I didn't even say as much as I did. But I can't get over. Let's see here, by the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. I ain't ashamed of you. I love him. I realize my love he gave me so I could love him like I did. I couldn't love him on my own. He gave me that. And it's a precious love. And it's a love, I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, it's a love that'll change everything in your life. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. You'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus, not understanding it, but loving it. I didn't understand it when I got saved. There's times right now in my life I don't understand it. But oh, how I love this Christian life. It's the best life that a person can have. Is a born-again experience by the grace of God. Experiencing old-time salvation and the love of Christ down in your heart. There's nothing better than that. Hey, this salvation, it ain't all in the future. Thank God it's a present every day. And it keeps you going. Amen. You like this old time way?
Yes, sir.
This old time way is a way of love.
Yes, sir.
You like this old time way? A lot of people don't know what old time way is.
That's right.
They don't know what old time salvation is. They just don't know. A lot of liberal churches today don't know a thing about real worship. Don't know a thing about many that, and I'm sadly saying this, that claim salvation, but don't know a thing about Holy Ghost conviction of sin. Not sins, sin. But don't know a thing about it. And you know what? I like to reach him as much as I would anybody else. Christianity is Christ. Christian life is loving him enough to obey his commandments. That's what the Christian life is. Loving him enough to obey his commandments. Do you love him enough to try to obey his commandments? He'll get it.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to sing a little bit. And I can't sing a lick. But I want to tell you something. There's something in my heart right here.
Bless him, Lord.
Help him, Lord.
I remember that old-fashioned church house on Sunday, how the bells would sweetly ring. Houses old-fashioned seats would be crowded as that old-fashioned choir began to sing. Brother Ira would always sing the loudest. Those old-fashioned songs we love the best. But there's not many old-fashioned people, for most of them have all gone home to rest. But I guess I'm a little old-fashioned, for I still love the old-fashioned way. Still believe in an old-fashioned altar where we kneel in an old-fashioned way. That's where I found old-time salvation. Contentment and peace came my way. Well, I guess I'm a little old-fashioned, for still of the old-fashioned way. I remember that old-fashioned preacher The Holy Bible he held in his hand.
Right.
How the Spirit would come down from heaven and bless him as he would take the stand. How the Word would bring old time conviction. The saints would shout as the sinners ran through. They would say, it's that old time religion. I'll be peace in the valley for you. So I guess I'm a little old fashioned, for still of the old fashioned way. Still believe in an old fashioned altar, where we kneel in an old fashioned way. That's where I found old time salvation. Contentment and peace came my way. Well, I guess I'm a little old fashioned, for still